Republic Yemeni number one. Hello, my friends. How are you? Hope all is well. I am fucking feeling good. For real, though. Feeling good, man. been resting really well recently. Feeling really good about that. You know what I'm saying? Just did Vegas for an entire week at the LA Comedy Club. That was great. Thanks for everybody who came out. Thanks for everyone who is following me now. After that show, I've been posting clips now, from my stand-up shows, doing them more and more, and, trying to stay on top of that. I got something to say about that in a second, which is kind of interesting. After you start posting, often online, I'm learning a lot about the algorithm. Anyways, other than that, there is plenty to talk about. First off, because I got to get in the habit of this, like, subscribe, leave a comment, help me beat this algorithm. If you're listening only to the podcast, best way to find me, mikefromdetroit.com or my name, mikeeshack.com. Takes you to the same place. I got all my social media links up at the top. And you can find me on whatever you prefer to find me on. Putin is losing the war. Putin is straight up getting his ass handed to him in this war, man. And I really don't give a fuck. I don't. Right? I was at a point where I was like, you know. When it came to the state of the world, I was always like surprised and like, oh man, is the end coming? Is it going to be nuclear war? Is it going to be? I'm just like, yo, man, people are stupid. I'm not even going to try to stress out about that. But he's calling up reservists right now. That's not good news for the Russian military. They've been in this war for now like 7-8 months. I think everyone, including Russia, underestimated what they were going to deal with. And, you know, I'm going to tell you, there's something about that the part that scares me is, of course, they got nuclear weapons, right? If Putin gets, you know, backed into a corner and he feels he needs to flex hard, I mean, I hope not. But on the good side, I'm like, it feels good knowing that the other superpower is not that super. It's comforting to know that they're getting weak too. You know what I'm saying? I think everyone's getting weak. I'm serious. I think listen, there's a part of me that thinks that there's not going to be a World War III because people, after the lockdown, they know what it feels like to chill. And that's it, man. I think that's where we is, cuz. Hey guys, I am glad to be back on. It's been a while. Sorry for the delay. There's a lot of, last minute travels. I've been doing a lot of traveling, on the road a lot, which is great. Did my first college show. Maybe I'm canceled. I don't know. I doubt it. Did my first college show. That paid my rent. That's great. Just one show. Those college shows are great. I'd like to get more. But I hear a lot of comedians that do it for a long time. They can't stand it. And listen, I've only done one. So we'll see. There's more to come. I got my cat back. So, you know, I went 2 weeks to Bali to drop my mom off in Indonesia to meet up with my family. And she's back in Indonesia right now. That was great to travel with my mom. And it's just, you know, it's cool to spend time with my mom too. Didn't do any podcasts out there. Did a little bit more relaxing. And the thing that really, really, really helped with this is that it really relaxed me. And that's when I realized when I went to Bali, I was like, dude, I needed this. I wasn't going to go. If it wasn't for my mom needing to move over there and then me feeling like, hey, man, there's no way that my mom's going to be able to do this by herself, you know, because she's old. She's elderly. You know, she needs to take her medication and shit. So I'm just like, fine, I'll drop work for a second, which drives me crazy. Because in stand-up, man, it's about momentum. It's about keeping it going. Taking 2 weeks off to me goes, oh, my God, you know. But I needed it. So I'm back. I know it's been a while since I did the podcast, doing a week in Vegas. What up, Bolty? What's up, Jason? Jason says, between college and Vegas, you got oversexed. No, I did not. No, dude. To be honest, I'm in the drought now. I knew the drought was coming because I remember I talked to one of my friends a while back, and I was telling her, I was like, yo, the drought's coming. I know it's coming. You could feel it. No, I have not been hitting on too many women. I've been really focused on work because there's a lot of I'm now starting to post more on the social media. So now I'm hitting everything. I'm posting. Before, I was only posting on Mike from Detroit Facebook fan page and Instagram. And now I kind of feel like an idiot that I restricted myself to that, because I know for sure now that the meta universe has got me shadow banned. And the way I found out was posting the same videos at the same time to all these social media platforms. And what I ended up finding out was for sure I'm shadow banned on Instagram and on Facebook fan page. My Instagram and my Facebook fan page are connected because they're the same company. Right. But my personal Facebook page is not, which is really funny. So for some reason, the algorithm is like, fuck Mike from Detroit, Instagram, and fuck Mike from Detroit Facebook, because the Facebook fan page, because they are connected. Right. So for so long, I've been posting these videos and getting no views. And when I look at the analytics on Instagram, it's only showing it to people who follow me. And specifically narrowing it down to only people in Los Angeles. So only about 1,000 to 1,500 of my followers, I think, are from Los Angeles on Instagram. And yeah, it's like, it didn't make sense. Like, none of that stuff made sense. But then this is how I found out for sure. So now I started posting it on my personal Facebook page, just Mike Eshak, my personal Facebook page. Started posting my reels on that, and the videos are blowing up. And now my followers on my regular Facebook page is surpassed my Facebook fan page that I've had for years. And I'm wondering why I'm not getting any followers. So now I'm putting all my attention to TikTok, YouTube, and my actual Facebook page. I'm still posting on my Instagram and my Facebook fan page, mainly because I need the comedians in Los Angeles to know that I'm doing shit. It's really funny. It's really funny how that is, because think about it. Facebook and Instagram is the same thing. I post it on my Instagram where I know I'm being shadow banned. And then when I post it on my Facebook that's attached to that Instagram, that one's being shadow banned. But then when I post the same video on my own personal page, it gets 20,000 views, 17,000 views, 10,000 views, all these likes. And the whole time I'm posting the same videos now, mind you, there's videos that I've had in the past that I've already posted, like this one where I do this crowd work during a Kansas tornado. Right? I posted that video on Instagram. It got maybe, I think, 3,000 views, which is nothing for a funny video like that. It's really funny. Then I posted it on TikTok and it instantly got 12,000 views. And I was like, okay. So then I started posting on TikTok more. Then I resurrected that Kansas tornado video again. And this time I wanted to test it out amongst all platforms. So I put it on everything, including my two shadow banned accounts, Instagram and Facebook fan page, and then my actual personal Facebook page. And the video popped off even harder this time. I put it on my own personal page. It got over, like, I think it's at 15,000 views now. So I posted it back on TikTok. Back when I first posted it on TikTok, I got 12,000 views. Now when you go on TikTok, that same video that I posted months ago is now at 51,000 views. So it went from 12,000 views to 51,000 views. And when I posted that video again on Facebook, on Instagram, it got shit. So to me, this just shows that this shadow banning thing and the way the algorithm deals with you, it's real. This is like no joke. This stuff is actually real. And I think it's sad because we're supposed to be living in a world where we get, you know, especially Americans, we're supposed to be all about free speech. But then when you look at these platforms that we're using, these American platforms are restricting our speech. But then I got to go to China, TikTok. I got to go to a Chinese app to have the freest of speech. Like the TikTok app just knows how to push my shit to the people who's going to love watching it. That's how that algorithm works. Instagram is like, you don't like Biden, so we're not showing your videos to anybody. It's really, really sad. So I don't know. I got a strategy. I got another strategy that I'm thinking about to try to beat that algorithm. And the algorithm's God now, man, for real.
Come on, man.
Okay. Next things we're going to talk. So follow me. Mike from Detroit. Help me beat the algorithm. MikeFromDetroit.com. Find all my social media links. Follow me on what you like. Like, subscribe, share my videos. Tell people what's up. So, yeah. Putin is... This is the thing that scares me because I think Russians are a lot like Arabs, man. You know, Arabs, we have, not me, not all of us, but I think in our culture, we do have this ability to be, we have easily bruised egos. That's how I like to say it. We have easily bruised egos. Like for us, you know, it's just very something simple. Like if our egos are bruised, we have this culture where we have to like now bow up even harder, you know, like a cat when it gets scared. It ain't shit, but it's just going to fucking like, yo, dog, look how big I am. Look how big my hairs are. Look, man, everything is all standing up. Aren't you scared? No, I'm not scared, kitty. You're too cute. Now, if you were a panther, then we would have a problem. But the one thing that worries me about Putin, man, is that he might have to flex harder. If he's losing this war to a comedian, the president of Ukraine is a comedian, bro. I think that was probably the thing that got him. They were just like, this guy, ha, 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 we'll get him. And then, but what kills me is this right here. Did you guys see this on 60 Minutes? President Biden was on 60 Minutes and I was surprised. I was like, oh, you're not dead? But man, I just look at, bro, it's like, I wish him the best, man. I want nothing more than any president that we have to succeed. That's all I want him to do. I don't care who they are. Just you got to succeed because, you know, we need. But this is like, did you hear what he said about Taiwan? He said, hold on, I'll just play this.
What should Chinese President Xi know about your commitment to Taiwan?
Tell him. Agree with what we signed on to a long time ago.
and that there's a one China policy, that Taiwan makes their own judgments about their independence.
Uh-huh.
We are not moving, we're not encouraging their being independent. We're not, that's their decision.
But would U.S. forces defend the island?
Yes, if in fact there was an unprecedented attack.
After our interview, a White House official told us.
What the fuck is he talking about? Why are we trying to? But I think, listen to this.
But the commander-in-chief had a view of his own.
So unlike Ukraine, to be clear, sir, U.S. forces, U.S. men and women, would defend Taiwan in the event of a Chinese invasion.
Yes.
What? Listen. They've been having to play damage control with Gramps this whole time, man. I'm surprised they didn't like have somebody like stop it and be like, "Hey, let's shoot this again." That's yay, and walk up to him and be like, "Sir, that's not what you were supposed to say. We're supposed to say fuck Taiwan. Taiwan is China." That's all right. And roll film. Are we going to the drugstore later? It's like. To me, it's like it's dangerous to think that we're just going to be like flexing on China. They make everything. They make this microphone that I'm talking into, these headphones that I'm wearing, the camera I'm looking into. how do we even think about that? Like, listen. I don't want to save anybody anymore. I'm done playing Captain Save-A-Ho. I'm done playing Captain Save-A-Ho. I think it's time to play Captain Save-A-Bro. Save your bros here, you know what I'm saying? Your beaches and your bros in America. Let's bring that fucking money back here, cuz. You know what I'm saying? Give me some of that healthcare. I just think it's really funny because then the White House had to come back afterwards and be like, "Oh no, that's not what we're gonna do." Nope, our policy is whatever China wants, China gets. We typed this out on our computer that was fabricated in a Chinese sweatshop. 55 Chinese people committed suicide so you could be typing on this iPhone. Peace out. I just think it's really funny. It's funny, man. Everything's funny. Everything doesn't make sense. Even last night, I was talking to a bunch of friends, and I'm not even going to get into the detail, but it's so funny how people right now are so polarized that you can just say a name of a podcaster, and it everyone there will just hate you. You see Joe Rogan, he's a piece of shit. But why? He's just a piece of shit. Yeah, he's bad news. He's bad news. But why? Nobody can give me one reason why. I'm like, dude, I listen to everything, dude. I don't give a shit. I don't like listening to Ben Shapiro. He's not somebody that I would normally just turn on and be like, yo, I gotta give this a listen. I'm just not doing that. I'm not going to listen to him all the time. He's not somebody I want to listen to. But by God, I do listen to him once in a while. Especially when certain debates get heated, right? Or certain like big news topics come up. And then, you know, the people on the left, which I kind of always gravitate to. Like that's where my opinions, you know, kind of, even though that I don't agree with everything on the left, my knee-jerk reaction is to lean to the left. Right, which forces me that every once in a while I gotta go over to the other side, to see what they're thinking, you know. And I just don't understand. I don't understand this idea of vilifying somebody who's talking into a microphone. Like, we've actually gotten to a place where I remember growing up, like, in the 80s and going to school. I remember they taught us the importance of knowledge and the importance of understanding other people and understanding other people's stances on things. They made us, like, you know, remember the history of book burning. But that the Nazis did to stupefy their people, you know, how horrible it was that, like, slaves would get killed if they were caught showing any intelligence, if they were reading or if they knew knowledge of certain things, because that was dangerous to have a slave that was smart enough, you know. To now we have this amazing way of just passing information on back and forth through the internet. And now the thing that really pisses people off more is not why we don't have healthcare. It's what some fucking meathead cage fighter says into a microphone. I just don't get it. You know, I mean, like, it was really funny. I just brought up Joe Rogan and everyone fucking lost their shit. I was like, what the fuck? And I'm either neither nor or against. But to me, it's like, out of all the podcasts I listen to, that's a real good one to listen to many different voices. I don't listen to Joe Rogan. This is one girl was like, do you listen to Joe Rogan? I was like, I listen to his podcast. I don't listen to Joe Rogan. Right? I don't even listen to half his guests. Half the time I'm daydreaming. But even with their guests, I mean, like, I always take everything with a grain of salt. I do not ever try to sit there and go, I know everything, and the person that I'm talking to knows everything. You know, in the grander scheme of things, if you really take a macro view of our world, a lot of these things that we're getting, like, pissed off about, they're insignificant. They really are. You know, I made a new friend the other day, you know, about a month or a couple months ago. The person is trans, and I really got to get to know this person. It was dope. I really enjoyed talking to them, smoking weed with them. And it was great talking with them, because I'm a bull in a china shop, right? But I'm also that bull that comes back with crazy glue and a willingness to put everything back together, right? So I'm the type of bull that would just, I would say something, right? And my intentions aren't brash, but I say it in such a way that certain sensitive people will be like, ah, you know, and then I have to be like, oh, wait, I'm sorry if that came off the wrong way. So I have to learn that. I have to do that, because just the way I carry myself makes certain people irked out. But me and her were sitting down and talking, and, like, it was great that, like, we had this ability to have this conversation, because I really got to know what it was like being trans from someone who is, you know, I mean, I think it was very interesting, because to me it's like, why are we so sensitive about these pronouns, right? Do they matter? I mean, to me, I don't think gender really matters. I don't give a fuck about gender. I don't think gender matters. Gender is a social construct anyway. Gender is something that we created. We created gender. We created this thing called gender, which is, I think, just, we should just get rid of it. If anything, you know, we have sex, and now I'm finding out that the difference between gender and sex is not the same. I always thought it was the same thing. Man, male. Nope, that's not it. Man is your gender. Male is your sex. What? Okay, let's just get rid of gender. Fuck that thing. What does it matter? But to this person, they were like, you know, it did matter to them and that they are very sensitive. And then the topic came up about how I always say dude and bro when I talk to people. And to me, I use dude and bro in a gender neutral way, right? I don't just call any girl I don't know bro. And I don't call them bro. I use bro in a sentence. You know what I'm saying? It's just something that you say. It's like, it's almost like an emotion, right? Bro. Like that, right? But yeah, so I would say that in our conversations as we talked, and then I had to stop and ask her. I was like, are you okay? You know, with me, because I do say that, and I had to like clarify and be like, I just let you know, I say that to the crowd. I say that to, you know, girls that I know that I'm good friends with. You know, and even when I say it to them, I'm not even using it as a directed thing. Like you're a dude or you're a bro. No, it's more, it's a throw. It's like, hey man, damn man. It's like that. Right. But then when you talk to trans people, you got to be very careful because sometimes it can be very sensitive. And I understand those people that are like, I don't gotta try to be sensitive or anything. Well, and it's, there's a part of me that understands that too, right? Because there's a part of me that kind of thinks that way. But at the same time, talking to this person, man, they didn't have it easy. Like their family was not even, their family disowned them. Like legit. And plus they came from a country where the country itself was like, yo, no. And if they stayed in that country and really wanted to express who they really were, the only type of jobs that they could ever resort to is prostitution. That's terrible, man. See, I said man again, and I'm not talking to anybody. So then she came here, you know, and sure, she's more free here. But man, could you imagine that type of anxiety that someone who's trans would have, though? I mean, I'm one of those people, I like to make fun of everything, but at the same time, I also can feel like I come across as somebody who doesn't feel shit. But no, that's not the thing, because I always try to like walk a mile in someone else's shoes. I try to empathize, you know. Empathy is hard. I think people throw around that word empathy too much. You gotta empathize, have some empathy. It's like empathy is not an easy thing. Not many of us are capable of empathizing with someone else. Sympathize at the very least, right? But I try to like feel what that would feel like if I was that person. You didn't have no friends that would back you up. Your family, you have no family. Your family is already broken. That's what I told her. I'm like, your fucking family's weak. Because she said something about like, you know, it was something about her. It was her fault or that she's this way. I was like, I think if anything, the real problem is not you. It's that your fucking family's weak. Your own brother, parents are just disowning you. Your friends are kind of like, nah, we can't be, you know. And then they come here. And I remember I was talking to her and she was just like, you know, I said something about, hey, I just used dude. And I'm like, I'm sorry. And she's like, she told me, she was like, no, it's okay, Mike. I understand. I understand now you've explained it, that you are somebody who just says that, you know, just it'll come out and you don't even mean it in terms of like directing it towards someone. But she's like, and I was like, but you're still kind of sensitive about that. She's like, yeah, because you know, how would you feel every day you go out walking and someone has to basically come tell you, hey, I don't have to call you anything, dude. Okay, dude, do you understand, man? Okay, oh, you want to be trans? Oh, well, guess what? I'm not using your pronoun. I don't care. You don't have to tell me shit. You're not a woman. You know what I mean? So, like, that's crazy. That's fucking crazy. And when I thought about that, I was just like, yeah, now I can understand why people are very sensitive. But on a micro level, meaning when you get really close to it, like if I'm talking to a person who's trans, I think that's where we need to play sensitive. You're dealing with a person here. You know, every person's different. If every person has a different type of level of anxiety or no anxiety or social awkwardness or whatever, you know, and, you know, that's a person that you're talking to. And when I deal with a trans person on a micro level, I think that it's a very important thing to make it pleasant. Be a good neighbor. Be neighborly, you know? If they ask you, please don't call me sir or whatever, don't make it a big deal. It's not that big of a deal. It really isn't, you know? That's something that's so very easy. But when you go macro, when you pull out on a bird's eye view, and then now you're trying to get government and like social media and like canceling because people are not abiding and not acting a certain way, that's where I start having a problem, right? That's when I really, really start having a problem because, you know, we're supposed to leave it up to society, not the government. That's something that we're supposed to teach each other, right? Not sit there and try to have the cops take care of it or the government or some type of law or it's just too much. But you know, I love talking to her. I thought it was great and it was very eye opening. And she's going to maybe try to help me deal with this joke that I have that I is not going to see the light of day until I could figure something else out with the joke. But it has to do with trans. It doesn't have to do with trans stuff. But I don't even say the word trans. But in the joke, it's insinuated that this is what I think I'm going through. So, but anyways, the point is that yeah, I made a new friend, and I'm glad I did. And I think that it would have. That conversation with that woman would have never freaking happened on the level that it would have if I've already made up my mind about her, you know, like some of the guys that I was hanging out with the other night. And then all of a sudden we say Joe Rogan and then like 3-4 people just pop off like firecrackers. What the fuck? Joe Rogan's a piece of shit. Have you listened to his podcast? No, I don't have to. He's a piece of shit. How about his podcast with his with the one, you know, artist that you really like? No, fuck it. He's fucking trash. I don't understand that. So to me, it's like, are you a robot? What's happening here? Are you an NPC? Are you a non-playable character in a video game? Because we might be in a simulation, and if this is a simulation, then that means only a handful of us are real souls playing the simulation, and the rest of the simulation has no souls playing it. It's just projections of the simulation. That's what I think government is. I think that if you gave birth to a baby and your baby's like, I'm going to work in the government, you just gave birth to an NPC. That's not a real person. That's just a projection of the simulation. Sent here to test us. Before I go, I do want to talk about Vegas. Las Vegas is a weird place, man. Las Vegas is, there's people that love Vegas. I get it. Vegas is not one of my favorite places to go to. It's everything in that place is about taking your money, right? Obviously. But it's on a level that's just retarded. Like, for example, I go to the Stratosphere Hotel because that's where the LA Comedy Club is. LA Comedy Club, if you guys are there in Vegas, go to the LA Comedy Club. They got a new room. It's called the Dragon Room. A lot of the clips that I've been posting up have come from that room. And that room is just, it's a great, great place to watch comedy. But it's in the Stratosphere. And sure enough, whenever I go to Vegas, the first thing I do is I go to a grocery store or like a Walgreens or something, and I'll just buy gallons and gallons and gallons of water. Because we're in the desert, right? But the problem is when you go in Las Vegas, and you go into at least the Stratosphere or any of these freaking hotels, we're in a desert, There's no drinking fountains. What? What? Excuse me?
Come on, man.
Excuse me?
Come on, man.
No freaking... Okay. I know this about Vegas, man, but it still drives me freaking crazy. Because usually when I go to Vegas, I'm there for 2-3 days and I bounce. Well, now I had to be there for 7 days straight to do those shows. And, bro, like no fountains. Then I found a hack. The gym had water bottles in there. And that's where I was filling up my water bottles. Because all they're trying to do is try to get you to pay $8 for a bottled water inside the casino. It's just dirty, man. Like, I understand that Vegas is a dirty, swindling place, right? But no drinking fountains? And then when I asked the lady in the front, she's like, oh, it's because of COVID. I'm like, what does that mean? Then I went back up there again to, like, get another key. And I asked the next guy, I'm like, why do we have the drink? It's because of COVID. I'm like, is that what they tell you to say? And he just froze like an NPC. I'm like, that's what they tell you to say, huh? They tell you to say it's COVID. And he's like, well, I mean, you know, that's when they got rid of it. You, that's why you're an NPC checking me out at a casino in Vegas. Oh, that's COVID. Vegas. Such the weirdest place. But I'm posting a lot of videos from there. Got to hang out with my boy Trix. You guys remember Trix? I had him on there. So Jason says they shut off the drinking fountains at the VA hospital in Kansas, Missouri. Are they still shut off? That's the thing. So anyways, another thing I want to talk about before we go. Do you guys like video games? Because I love video games, and I have not played video games in a long time, and it's pissing me off. Usually, I get too busy to play video games, but every so often, if I do, I play something short. That's why I got, like, the VR headset. I'll play, like, a real quick shooting game in there, get my fill, go back to work, which I think I'm probably going to do some after this. But Grand Theft Auto is my jam. Grand Theft Auto is the one game where I will buy a brand new system just to play that game. That's a type of game that will get people to buy a whole new PlayStation. Cause man, everybody's been waiting on that freaking game. I love that game so freaking much. But the problem is when was the last time? Hold on a second. When was Grand Theft Auto 5 released? 2013, September 17th, 2013, 9 years ago, and they still haven't released a new one. I don't think there's any other game that's been that successful. And then they got really smart and they turned it into an online version of the game. So you could not only play against NPCs, but you could also be in the simulation fighting NPCs, and every so often a real person who's actually online can play with you in that world. I really think that's what the simulation is that we're in. Hell, I might be an NPC. Fuck. Oh no. But I don't know if you guys heard of the recent leak that happened. These hackers are no joke, man. It's going to make me want to like change all my passwords today. But yeah, so apparently some guy named Top T released 90 videos of Grand Theft Auto, and he claims to have the source code for the game, and he's holding it up for ransom. He gave out his special code on the Telegram app so you can reach out to him. And I think his demands are either money. I'm not sure exactly what it is, but he claims to have the source code. And apparently 7 people have been arrested so far. I think one of them is like a 16-year-old kid. And I don't know. I just don't think that Telegram is necessarily the best place to get your information across to people. That part alone makes me think that it might be just a dumb scam. They might have just got videos and they didn't get the source code. All I gotta say is please be fake. I mean, there's things about, because I don't want Grand Theft Auto 6 to be delayed even more, man. I'm really looking forward to just sitting down playing video games for once. It's been a minute. It's been a minute since I've just been a loser. But yeah, this is one of those things where I'm like, this hacker needs to kick. This is where I get mad. I'm kind of like a Republican. Whenever WikiLeaks leaked shit out when Bush was not Bush, when whoever was, when Trump was in office, like they just got fucking pissed. Or even like when Democrats get pissed at WikiLeaks whenever they leak anything when Obama's in office, right? I'm kind of like that with GTA. I'm like, nah, man. I hope they catch this 16-year-old kid who did it. You know? I think every hacker should do like better things, man. Like figure out who did 9/11. Come on, man. That's the shit I want to know. All right, guys. Well, I'm gonna get going. This is it was good to be back on. So I'm glad I'm back on. I'll see you again next week. I might be able to get a guest before next week. So stay tuned to Mike from Detroit on everything, my Twitter, everything. That's where I'll be like releasing any future dates for the podcast. I locked my cat outside right now and I kind of feel bad. I had to, because my cat just loves to meow. She's just one of those breeds where she's trying to have conversations with me and shit, you know? So, yeah, I had to lock her outside. Otherwise, this whole podcast would have been nothing but meows. But follow me online, MikeFromDetroit.com. Don't forget to like, subscribe, follow me on everything. Help me beat the algorithm. It's fucking shit. Follow me on TikTok. I'm blowing up on TikTok. I'm really trying to get a lot of followers. I'm posting a lot of stuff up there that people like, and I'm enjoying it. Instagram can go fuck itself. I love you, YouTube. YouTube, you're the best. Thank you for pushing my material out. Guys, until next time, stay yummy.
Public Yemeni number 1.